A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Monday nights at 7, BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins KSL for an insider look at the BYU football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. It is another edition of the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Could not ask for a better evening because you've got Monday Night Football staring us in the face, Scott's old team, the Detroit Lions. Do you look at it like it's your old team? Do you look at it and you go, ah, the old days? I mean, it's not in the Pontiac Silverdome anymore.
Of course you do.
Okay.
It's your old team.
So if they're winning, then you go, ah, my old team.
You just don't know anyone. It's like,
right. Hey.
Everyone's either retired or dead, so it's not like.
Why? You're not that old, my heavens.
Yeah, getting there.
But Jamal Williams, former BYU running back, taking a lot of carries for his new team, the Lions, tonight, and they're up on the Packers 14-7 right now in Monday Night Football. Joining us right now, of course, the star of the Players Club this evening, Jaren Hall, BYU quarterback. How's everything feeling? How's the soreness all working out this week? Everybody was worried about you after the game there, Jaren.
Yeah, it's working its way out, man. It's football, though. Happens.
You know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you guys are playing with a lot of confidence. I mean, you're 3-0 on the season right now. What do you think has been the most important factor in having that confidence or finding that confidence?
From love and gratitude for the game to be able to play. I think we're the most energetic team on the field the last, you know, three games we've played, and that was the case all last year. And, you know, the whole country saw that, and so I think it's still the same this year in the last three games. I really think that's what's driven us to be successful because, I mean, we haven't played, you know, perfect, and you never will play perfect, but we haven't quite executed, at least offensively, the way that we, you know, hope to have done by now. So it's definitely just the energy that we have and the confidence we have in each other no matter what's going on in the game.
How do you get that? I mean, do you guys hang out together? Do you have like off-site training, you know, where you guys like have trust exercises coach to talk? I mean, where does it come from? Is it just
Yeah, it definitely starts with Kalani and it works its way down. I mean, you've heard all the stuff he's talked about, just gratitude, love for the game, love for our families, and I mean, you put those things together, it's two powerful forces that, you know, really drive us to appreciate what we're doing. And when you appreciate something, you go out and you give it your all. So I think that's really all it comes down to, as simple or cliche as that might sound to people. That's really what it is, though.
I find it fascinating because you look at it and it translates into success. It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the games aren't perfect. I know that right. Everything doesn't. But that energy and that enthusiasm and that excitement, man, it goes so far. Yep. And you can just see it because I'm watching all the Utah games, and I'm telling you, it's like watching the tale of two cities because there's no excitement on that other side of things, and I just think it's so fascinating.
Yeah, man. It's just grateful to be here, grateful to play the game, and, you know, it just brings us a lot of joy to be out there together. I mean, that's our bonding right there on the field, all day in meetings, in the locker room. I mean, you're around the guys 24-7, yeah. So yeah. You just build this trust and love for each other, and, you know, every play you just do it for the guy next to you.
So you had the weekend, and you obviously watched the film. And what did you like? What did you hate watching yourself on film?
I loved that we won. That's
what
I loved.
You got the W.
We got the win. Myself, I mean, ball security was an issue for me. Or not an issue for me, but it definitely didn't play the way that I had in the past as far as taking care of the ball. You know, made some silly mistakes and maybe tried to do some too much at times. So that's something I got to work on and be better at. But, you know, it was uncharacteristic of me, and so I'm confident that, you know, moving forward I'll be okay and, you know, keep my team in a better situation than I did.
I think it's interesting And you're talking about the interceptions and all that stuff because they haven't had any to this point. And it's just interesting that you bring that up because we always want to, you know, I guess what I'm saying is we remember more or we learn more from like the interceptions or the bad things that happened to us.
Yeah.
What did you learn from those situations? If you could kind of just walk through the interceptions and just like in the moment what happened, but then looking back on it, it's like, okay, how do I get better from this?
Yeah, I mean, the first one was just at the end of the half, you know, I think better understanding of the situation. We had the look we wanted in a press man, you know, to throw a go around, take a shot, and then they called timeout. We had a different play called, and then we got in the huddle. We said, okay, let's take a shot at the end zone because they're pressed up. We come back out, they're pressed, and then they drop off, give us a right. different look. Gabe Gunner a one-on-one chance, and, you know, they were in a bell coverage, and I should have just checked it down. Maybe get a first down, get out of bounds, kick a field goal, and go with
Did they have a different corner in at that point, too? I think
They switched the corner over, yeah. One of their starter got hurt.
Lucas went out.
I hope he's okay, yeah. And then they rotated the left corner over. So he made a good play on the ball, and so learn from that just situation. You know, take your check down when they don't give you the coverage you need.
But you also know in that situation, too, you're going, okay, we're up two scores already.
Right.
We get the ball first in the second half,
right.
and we're right up against this. So even if we do turn it over, probably in a spot
yeah.
where it's not.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't like a bad interception, you know, making a dumb choice. But at the same time, knowing, you know, okay, a field goal will give us far more momentum going in.
Right.
And points are points, you know. So
yeah.
That was the first. And the second was just silly. You know, all three routes were covered. The check down was covered. We've done it in practice before. You throw it over the guy's head and you don't try to do too much. And that's exactly what I did.
Well,
tackled. Oh, go ahead.
I've got the play right here. And
oh,
it's
here we
interesting
go.
Because, well, it's interesting because nobody's talking about the pick, thankfully, after all of it.
Right.
But here's the play that everybody. The next day, it was the most watched thing across all of Twitter. So here we go.
He stops it, tight end right, goes back left. Hall settles, looks left, forced left, throws, intercepted while going down. He throws, and it may be a to-the-house pick six the other way. Being chased is Merlin Robertson, forced out. Ball fumbled, and the Cougars recover. The Cougs get the ball back.
Tyler Allgeier.
At their own 15-yard line, Tyler Allgeier trailing the play. Can you believe
that? That's what an old quarterback, just like all he's doing, that's like full gratitude from an old quarterback who's made his own throws.
I texted Tyler that night, say, whatever you need, bro, I got you.
But here's the best part about it. It's not Tyler Allgeier. I mean, believe me, it was an amazing play.
Oh, insane, yeah.
But it's you. Like, you could have just sat there and just gone, oh,
Hold
my
Peyton
goodness.
Manning and just sat on it.
And you did. And you followed
yeah,
the ball.
A-Rod got us coached up well, man.
It is.
You're going to make up for your mistake.
It's a great habit to chase a football and to finish plays. And in my time playing football, if I could give you one word or anyone a word, it's finish. And no matter what, because very easy for you to stop. And that was a massive game changer. And I appreciate that. Just so you know that I appreciate that finish. That was really amazing.
Well, thank you. All the props to Ty, though, man. That's wow.
My favorite edit was somebody edited in.
It was a cool play by him.
Somebody edited in the Thor hammer. Like they did the electric right when he punches.
Yeah,
they did
the
electric the like lightning
That's
strike
funny,
on the ball.
Man.
Is so all it's become
but
a massive.
You know what's going to happen with that play? You watch. Is down the road you're going to see more players being that like aggressive in trying to punch it. It's almost one of those changing football philosophy plays in a turnover or something like that. You'll see more. You'll see more of that.
Right. It was intense. I look at that time and you go, yeah, there was a momentum shift on that play because then you guys. I don't think it even led to a score. It just took so much time off the clock.
Yeah,
And it changed the whole attitude of the sideline, I feel like, did it?
Well, for both teams.
It did. No, Tyler's, I mean, the energy and the not giving up on that, man, I think that really just showed the team this is why we're playing ball for, you know, dudes who love the game and love the team like Tyler does. And I think that just juiced everybody up. Because we got the ball back, fresh set of downs, and, you know, just go on and go score now. So it definitely did energize the stadium.
Let's play another one of the highlights from the other evening, and you can walk us through this one and tell us what you saw and then what was called here.
They go pistol, first and 10, BYU at the ASU 34-yard line. A quick turn and a handoff. Becomes a reverse, becomes a flea flicker. Hall steps up in the pocket, goes for the end zone. Wide open is Romney and makes the catch for the touchdown.
And I saw, and we interviewed Chase Lucas, I think, on Pac-12 Media Days down in L.A., and he talked so much about playing with the Romneys, and obviously they had that connection from high school. Uh-huh. And he was actually the first guy to go up to Gunner after the play, and he tapped him on the hat like, that was a nice play. That was a nice play. But yeah, he was wide open. And I just thought about the play call, and I think A-Rod has gotten to the point now where I think he feels super comfortable making those types of calls. Uh-huh. How has his play calling evolved over the time you've been with him?
Well, I mean, plays like that, I mean, to the crowd, it seems like something crazy and wild, but anybody who's watched BYU football the last, you know, 3-4 years since A-Rod's been there, that's what we do, man. I mean, we'll practice plays like that as often as we practice any other aspect of our offense, really, because, you know, it's as difficult or tricky as they may seem, the more you practice them, the more they become part of your offense, and that's what it is. And I know that's why he's so confident calling it, is because we run in practice all the time, we execute it, we've done it in games for years, and so you just find different variations, ways to do certain plays, and I mean, that just builds confidence over the years, man. The more it works, the more you continue to do it and just find new ways to do it.
All right, we're going to take the break here. Jaren Hall, Players Club. Scott Mitchell to my right. I'm Alex Curie. We'll be right back. We've got more to go. We're going to be chatting a little bit more about what the upcoming challenges are now on BYU schedule. Specifically, USF comes to town. Jaren has to remember that game down in Tampa from a couple of years ago, too. So we'll bring that up and talk about the preparation now, turning the page from ASU to USF this weekend. We'll take the break here. More to go with Jaren Hall next on KSL's Unrivaled on Players Club.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.